I've got a problem. You see, we're 4 months into the official launch of Sleepy Dog Creative. Life is still full of hills and valleys as I work to put enough projects on the calendar to stabilize the business. And we're starting to see some light. All the project conversations that I started in November are beginning to materialize, and I'm starting to see the fruits of my labor. However, as I've been talking to people about Sleepy Dog Creative, I've identified a pretty large problem right in the center of my business. As you've been following along on this journey, you may have found yourself wondering what exactly Sleepy Dog Creative does. The terms I've used to describe it have been pretty vague. After all, creative media company could mean a lot of things. What exactly is the quote-unquote creative media that we create? And even deeper than that, who exactly is this company for? Like, what type of person or company needs what we offer? Who are the people we're trying to help? And what am I doing to find them? And even beyond that, I keep calling myself a company, and yet I'm acting a lot like a freelancer. Is there even a clear difference between the two? If, as you've been listening, you found yourself asking any of these questions, you're right to do so. The reason I haven't explained any of it is because I don't have the answers. Now, if you don't come from a background of marketing, these might not seem like critical questions. To you, it might sound like enough information to say, I make videos for people that need videos. Unfortunately, it's just not that simple. The reality is, if I don't answer these questions, I'll never be able to clearly describe what I do to potential clients. I'll never know who exactly I should be talking to for work, and I'll waste time talking to the wrong people. And maybe worst of all, Sleepy Dog Creative will have no chance of flourishing into the successful company that I imagined it to be. So, for this episode, we're going to do some soul searching, get out the drawing board, and put in the work to figure out what exactly is Sleepy Dog Creative. The story you're about to hear has no ending. That is to say, whatever end will be has not happened yet. This is a story of one guy, myself, trying to fulfill his dream. But in a lot of ways, this is a story about thousands and thousands of people. Entrepreneurs, inventors, and relentless creatives. It's about the people with an idea who had the audacity to walk to the edge of their comfort zone and jump into the unknown to pursue it. Or at least, this is a case study of my attempt to do just that. This story is being captured and crafted in real time, which means however the story ends, you and I will discover it together. I'm Jeremiah, and you're listening to Over the Edge. Let's rewind, like a lot. The year was 2007, and 9-year-old Jeremiah just started learning about making videos. It started with a crappy webcam and Windows Movie Maker when I learned how to crossfade two video clips and make it look like I disappeared. I was mesmerized by this effect and convinced members of my family to let me make them disappear too. If this was possible, what else could I do? Around the same time, there was another desire that began stirring in my heart. It was a common desire for a kid my age, and it became the central desire of my whole life. I wanted a dog. Now, we had dogs previously, but I was too young to remember most of it. I wanted a dog that I could take care of and could go on adventures with me. To this day, I think this was the most intensely I've ever wanted anything. I remember the desire for a dog hitting me so bad that I couldn't sit still and I would go for bike rides to run out my energy, all the while I was imagining the tricks I could teach him and the games we could play. And so, about a year later, despite my parents' reservations, they surprised me with a lab American Bulldog mix named Rusty. Rusty was my dog in every sense of the word. As a 9-year-old kid, I had a budget and was responsible to pay for his food as well as being the sole member of the family responsible for taking care of him. I picked up after him and took him for walks. Rusty was my dog, and we did everything together. Fast forward maybe a year. My fascination with creating movies continued, and I started tinkering with stop-motion animation. I had several ideas for full-length movies I wanted to create, like a Lego version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas or an animated movie that centered around marshmallows. As I began creating these movies, I realized I needed a name for my company. After all, movies start with something 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 presents. I needed to figure out what my something 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 is. So I scanned the room, looking for inspiration, and quickly, I saw Rusty, who was sleeping nearby. And it was at that moment I knew just what to do, and I named my company Sleepy Dog Productions. Okay, fast forward like 15 years. After Caffeinated Records closed and I started working for my church, I began imagining trying again and starting a company. I thought through lots of ideas. Do I stay with the name Caffeinated Records? Do I incorporate my name into the title, like Jeremiah Productions? And also, with all of this, I gotta make sure that the name that I choose isn't already in use. Then, as I was talking to Kahootly, the idea came to harken back to my roots and bring Sleepy Dog back to life. It was at that moment that Sleepy Dog Creative was born. When Kahootly designed the logo, he used photos of Rusty to design the dog in the center of the logo, and thus, Rusty will be immortalized forever as an icon of the birth of creativity. Point number one, Sleepy Dog Creative, in its most basic form, is about a childlike inspiration to create. Then came a new problem. I needed to figure out what Sleepy Dog Creative is known for. What's our special sauce? To answer this question, I began reflecting on my time running Caffeinated Records. What was the thing that separated us from everyone else? You might remember this clip from episode one. I could spend the rest of this episode and probably the next 10 talking about the beautiful stories that came out of our work with our clients. The music we were making wasn't just technically proficient. There was something deeper happening. We were stepping into people's lives, entrusted with their stories, and then we put our minds together to create something beautiful that embodied who they were in ways that they couldn't put into words beforehand. It was powerful. That was the thing. Helping bring authentic emotional connection to our clients and create something that honored the central message of who they were. There's no reason I can't apply that same process to my video company. Point number two, Sleepy Dog Creative is about telling authentic stories. Okay, this was all the homework I did prior to jumping over the edge. Everything after this was uncharted territory. Equipped with my mission, I needed to find ways to tell more people about what I do. This won't work if I spend all my time locked in my office. I gotta get out there. And so, even though it was a huge step outside my comfort zone, I decided to start attending networking events. It's hard to tell exactly what you're walking into when you just RSVP to a random networking event listed online, and my first experiences were a mixed bag. My first networking event turned out to be a somewhat awkward lunch meeting with myself and two clunky older gentlemen who worked together as sales associates for what sounded suspiciously like a multi-level marketing scheme. In fact, I found myself wandering into several MLM conversations.
I just got done with a weird meeting. I met with this person because we were networking, we were talking about our businesses, and she has a business that is well established and is done for a good amount of time. She's also got a side project. And we talked almost entirely about this side project. Two hours. This meeting was 2 hours. What is your role in this? And she said, I am a team lead, but I'm hoping to be a team director. And it was in that moment I was like, yeah. I am at the beginning of starting my business. That means that I need to go out and meet people and have lots of conversations. And who knows whether the conversation is going to be productive and helpful or nothing. Right. That's true. I get that. At the same time, I am just starting my business. I have so much to do. I don't have time to have conversations that I can tell are pointless.
Despite these experiences, the optimist in me said to stay the course. And it's a good thing, too, because this is where things started to take a turn.
All right, everybody, if you could lend me your attention for the next 20 minutes, welcome to Uptown Networking. So this amazing event hosted by Michelle Sherrod and the Northwest Business Network, they throw events all over the Northwest suburbs. It's a great group to be a part of.
November 13, 2024, I drove an hour away and walked into a bar filled with probably 60 to 70 people. The whole place was rented out for this networking event. The room was lively, filled with small groups having conversations about their businesses and what sort of work they do. It was likely an introvert's nightmare, but I quickly felt right at home. Shortly into the event, I met a man named Austin. Austin told me he runs a program in the middle of the event where he pulls business cards out of a bucket and gives people a chance to pitch their business in front of everyone. He encouraged me to throw my name in the bucket as well. This was it, my chance to pitch my business. I was hesitant, but he urged me to do it. And sure enough, when the time came, my name got pulled, and I was invited up to speak. This was the moment that identified the central problem of this episode. Let me lay it out for you. I have a recording of my pitch from that night, but I also have a recording of another pitch from the same night by a man named Jeremy. I want to play them both for you and see if you can identify my issue. Admittedly, I'm kind of cringing at the idea of showing you this because it was not my best work, but I think it's an important piece to this puzzle. Okay, here it goes.
My name is Jeremiah. I've been creating art for myself and others for most of my life. Music, videos, things like that. And if you're an artist, you know that you can't help but ask deep questions about yourself and about the world around you. And here's what I learned. No matter who you are, we all need human connection. That feeling that we're not alone just wandering through life, but that there's somebody next to us who understands us. And what I found out is stories have long been one of the most powerful ways that we connect to other humans. But this fascination with stories really, really tugged at my heart. And so I decided to take the skills and the passions that I have and put them into a company that I called Sleepy Dog Creative, which is a company built to help tell people's stories. So Sleepy Dog Creative is a creative media production company. It specializes in visual storytelling for the purpose of bringing more good into the world. So everything that we do, be it something like a music video, a testimonial, a brand design, an event recap, a promotional video, all of it, it's telling a story. And so what we do is we bring our years of experience and our passion for creating to help you tell your story.
Ooh, like I said, it was not my best work. But in contrast, here's a clip of Jeremy's pitch.
I have the amazing job of making brands famous. And so the way that I do that is I spent over $20,000 paying a guy that made $25 million on Instagram in the last 3 years and said, teach me everything you know. And so he taught me his method, and I learned how to get you placed on a profile on Instagram with like a million followers for 2 to 15 times cheaper, dollar for dollar, than Instagram ads. It is the most effective form of advertising on the internet. I swear by it. Been in the industry 7 years. I've helped more than 1,000 people grow their Instagram accounts by thousands of followers. And if you don't do this, you're missing out. There you go. Is that 60 seconds?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Awesome.
Jeremy's pitch was clear, concise, and compelling. In fact, I'll link his company in the show notes so you can check him out. But in stark contrast to Jeremy's pitch, I was vague about the sort of work that I did, and it took me way too long to get to the point. If you were standing in that audience, you likely wouldn't have any clue what my services are and how my company could be helpful to you. In talking with Jeremy since then, he told me that he received an abundance of meetings and conversations from his pitch. Meanwhile, I didn't receive anything. If you had some doubts at the beginning about the importance of this question, hopefully now you can see the dilemma a bit more clearly. I called John Maxwell, my business mentor, to get some insights on this.
One of the things that will happen is your business will teach you who your market is. If you go out there and you just thrash around long enough, people will start hiring you. Notice who hires you, because that'll tell you a lot. Now, it doesn't mean you got to go where they take you, but pay attention to who's hiring you and the value they're getting from it. When you're really tight on who your market is and why they buy, it tremendously accelerates everything. Does that make any sense to you?
It does, yeah.
I have a big problem. And if I don't figure this out soon, I'm going to keep spinning my wheels trying to make enough money to pay the bills, and Sleepy Dog Creative will run out of steam before it hits 6 months. Time is ticking, and I got to put some answers on the page. We'll be right back. So there I was. 2.5 months removed from my salaried job with health insurance, in a slow, desperate crawl out of a financial desert, and only now beginning to ask core questions about the identity of the business I've entrusted my entire life to. No pressure. I figured the best way for me to get some answers was to enlist the help of the people around me who were doing it right. And who better to start with than the guy from the networking event with the perfect pitch?
So that pitch that you gave, is that something that you have, that you took a lot of time to refine?
Yes, years. Absolutely years of refining. I've been in business for 8 years, and my wife has nailed it into me on top of taking 12 master courses this year on how to define exactly what my business does in 5 seconds, catch attention and keep attention to the point where people are willing to spend money. So I've done extensive amounts of development on this.
Did you get to a point where you tried to do it without and realized there was a problem and I needed to figure out how to communicate it? Or did you just right off the bat know, like, hey, I've got to figure this out?
I had a lot of failures. And so I had to figure out what was effective and what was ineffective, what was holding me back, what was helping me. So I was really challenged to take a lot of time and think through how can I explain the business in a way that really hooks people's hearts and gets them excited. But I also watched people in my life that were really good at this and were doing it to get millions of dollars into their business by pitching investors. And so I paid attention to how they define my business. And I had this really good friend, Mark Miller, that said, this is Jeremy. He makes people famous. You should work with him. And I noticed that everybody he said that to was interested, and I got clients out of it. So I'm like, okay, maybe I really actually need to do that. I got to tell you, it does work. P.S. If you're plugging what I'm doing, I had a client this last 2 weeks that got 30,000 followers after 3 weeks of being with us and like 20 million views. So it does work. It works. I really am making people famous, I promise. It's just a matter of if you present something big and loud and you really add a oomph to it, then people are fascinated, because most people are really afraid to stand up and be confident about something. They're afraid to stand up and be just own who they are and what they do and what they've done. And the way they present it is like, oh, you know, I'm Joe Schmo and I do, you know, this crappy job that I have to do to pay my bills. And nobody's interested in that. Nobody wants to listen to that. So it's just a matter of, can you hook them? Can you keep them really, can you break the box, honestly, of what they expect? And nobody expects to be made famous. They expect to meet a plumber and someone with a cleaning service. But if you can tell them, hey, my cleaning service, it makes your toilets golden, well, all of a sudden that's a little different. So that's the idea. Creativity and trying to inspire people for what they don't think they can reach, but you might be able to be the guide and mentor to take them there. It's been ugly. It's been painful. I failed so many times. I can't tell you. God bless my wife for not giving up on me and believing in me. And she just told me, you know what? There's no other direction. You're not going to get a normal job. Keep going. I believe you can do this. And it's working. It's where I signed up 2 people last week on a subscription. It's working. So yeah, that's my journey.
In the middle of this process, I had a realization. My younger brother, Josh, had been getting increasingly into the world of sales and marketing. He's had ideas about starting some sort of company in the future, but first, he needs to get some experience. And as it happens, he's currently got some extra time on his hands. So I reached out to him, we struck a deal, and he jumped in the boat with me to help work through this conundrum.
Our ideal clientele are people that want stories to be told, right? Okay, cool. So now we need to learn, we need to figure out how do you now find those people, right? Like, it could be something broad. John even said, he's like, it can be broad. It needs to be comprehensive and like make sense so that you can streamline this whole thing.
Yeah. I think something that could be a really strong place to lean into, I already kind of have done this, but I think it reflects both a niche that we are good at, as well as it kind of holds true to what we could change to in the future, is saying our primary thing is creating testimonials for companies. First of all, we've done a lot of it. At the heart of that is a story, and there's a pitch to talk about what we're really good at. It's not just making a video. It's listening to somebody talk about them or tell a story for an hour and figuring out how to preserve the authenticity of that person by cutting it down to about 2 minutes and still maintaining the truth and the value in what they're saying.
It sounds good because I know what you're talking about, but I can't like we can't like take that and put it in a sentence or a paragraph even and like use that as our box. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it's like anyone that needs a video done, it's like, okay, well, okay. You know, people that are missing the human element of their business. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and for what it's worth, man, like in large part, I imagine you're here to push back on ideas and thoughts that I have and say, that's too broad or that doesn't make sense. Because if you're just like in full agreement with everything that I'm saying, then I could probably just do it. Do you know what I mean?
So then I'll just, okay. So then I will call you out. Okay. That was, let me just think on it. Cause I don't think I'm going to have like an answer. I'm going to just kind of write down what you said.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of mess around with it. See if anything pops into my head.
Yeah.
Remember Ryan from last episode? He's my buddy who runs a video production company called 4137 Productions. Well, he recently went through his own process of niching down from a full-scale video company to strictly a post-production house, meaning he edits videos. That's his lane. And believe it or not, business has begun picking up momentum for him ever since. So he seemed like someone I should chat with.
I'm trying to figure out what I do, how to get more specific about it, and we're talking about a lot of things.
Which I think like you made a joke. You're like, we should have a conversation about all the things I'm bad at.
Yeah.
And I got laugh because it's just like, it's not like you're bad at things. But I will say, I think that the current thing you're trying to do is the thing you're probably the worst at, which is narrowing down, getting very niche and very specific. And like, obviously for people who are listening to podcasts, they are all nodding in agreement because if they know you, you're an ideas guy. Yeah. And the idea of niching down or getting specific feels like closing doors or closing opportunities or like putting your brand in the box. It has to be specific. It has to be its thing. But just because you, Jeremiah, run Sleepy Dog doesn't mean that Jeremiah needs to be specific and be in a box.
Yeah.
You're just creating a specific niche or lane for people who are in contact with Sleepy Dog.
As I walked through this process, I kept asking myself, what is the unique type of video that we create? What sort of video company are we? But then I remembered something.
One of the things that'll happen is your business will teach you who your market is. If you go out there and you just thrash around long enough, people will start hiring you. Notice who hires you.
We hadn't been able to have that call until today. That's why I was like, shoot, I gotta take this. He is looking to start a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, it is also ironic that it's another podcast.
I was talking to Matt and I was like, you know, Jeremiah has a podcast. I thought maybe there's a way that we can work together.
So she sent another introduction email yesterday to somebody that she's worked with, of somebody looking to start a podcast.
You could say something along the lines of, I make podcasts that feel like a movie and you're the star. I don't know, something really bold that goes outside the box. I know that I've experienced your podcast like it was like a movie. I'm like, this is crazy. This is as good as the thing I just binged on my last road trip.
I'm currently working on or, you know, having conversations about producing probably 5 or 6 different podcasts.
Point number 3, organically, people have been coming to Sleepy Dog to produce podcasts.
It's so stupid, but like at the beginning of me starting this journey, the journey being like answering these questions, there was a question that I just kind of assumed wasn't going to be on the table. And now it feels like it kind of is. And that question is video even the thing? Like, it's
yeah.
Like, what is it? Is Sleepy Dog Creative actually not a video company? Is it actually a podcasting company, or is it a creative agency and video exists kind of inside of it, but it's not the thing that we say. Like, I've been telling people either I have a creative media company, or I'll simplify it and say I run a video company, but maybe that's wrong. And I actually, maybe it sounds stupid. I assumed that wasn't going to be a question I would ask.
Yeah. I don't know why fair. I don't know. What was that for you? What's the video thing for you?
What do you mean?
Why Sleepy? Like, is it like, you know, you can charge more? Is it that you think you have a higher up on people in the mm-hmm. video world? What's like, hey, Sleepy Dog Creative, okay, this has to be around video. What's that for you?
I mean, just to be super candid, when I was running a recording studio, recording music for people, I quickly learned that it is a dangerously small market. And it didn't seem like it was in a positive way. Like, it doesn't seem like I drilled down on my niche. It felt like there just wasn't a lot of need around me for what I was doing. And in contrast, I had people that were running video jobs like you,
yeah,
charging legitimate profit margins and things like that,
yeah,
and creating something that at least from the outside in looked like a far more sustainable business model than I was doing. And so I started looking more at video. And then once the studio closed, I spent all my time working full-time as a video guy and really refined my chops in that world. And so it kind of just made sense to pivot with that being the primary and then use my audio, my music knowledge and stuff to like enforce it.
Well, it's hard too, because it's like you've done a lot of video work, and maybe this, you're going to consider this an insult, but I don't mean it in this way. You're not a video guy though. You're a storyteller first. Yeah. Like, you have found that through video, it gives you this large opportunity to tell stories through that medium. But I think if someone was like, hey, I have this really great story, but I don't feel comfortable doing a video, I want to do like a podcast or an audio, you're there.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're not limited to the medium. And in fact, I would argue that like, you don't want to be limited to the medium. This is why it's becoming really hard to niche down for you right now.
Yeah. Can I tell you, there is one practical thing that really bothers me if I went the podcast route. Yeah. And that is I kind of creatively pulled references for this podcast from Alex Bloomberg and his podcast startup.
Yeah.
And in my mind, the thing that kept me from straight up copying him is I'm not trying to start a podcast company. And I feel like if all of a sudden it's like, hey, just kidding, actually, like, we're a podcast company, it's like, what am I doing that's different? This is the same thing. And
who cares?
I know. I don't even think he would care. So what does this mean? Is Sleepy Dog Creative a podcast company? Well, not yet. There could be a world where we step fully into the audio space, but I don't want to make that decision yet. And there's a couple reasons for that. First, I just don't have enough information yet to know if that's where the market is taking Sleepy Dog. Second, despite all of the podcast jobs, there are currently a bunch of video jobs spinning in the queue, and it would be foolish for me to step away from that world at the moment. And I'm not even sure I would want to. So for now, we're going to keep all of this info as a data point in the process, but we're going to stay the course on video.
There might also be something there to positioning ourselves with change-oriented businesses, like companies that are looking to change the world. Like, their mission statement is inherently like, we're looking to bring more good into the world, and we can say, great, we're really good at helping you do that. Like, I feel like the conversations that I've had with potential clients that have been the most fruitful are the people that know who they are and what difference they're trying to make in the world. And they're looking for people that also care about doing good things and have a technical skill set that they don't have. And that's, I feel like, where we come in.
We want to partner with people that also want to make a difference.
Okay, so for instance, you remember the dry bar that we discovered that we're looking at potentially doing some work for?
Yep.
That jumped out to us as like, oh, this would be really cool. Because at the heart of it, there is a story of something they're trying, a way they're trying to bring positive change into the world. They're looking to create a space that is as lively and fun to be around as a standard bar for people that struggle with alcoholism. And so there's no alcohol here. There is a problem and a desire for change that they've established. And we're saying, that's super compelling. Let us help you tell that story. Mm-hmm. So let us help use our resources and emotional intelligence to get behind you and help you tell that story of change to the people that need it.
Josh and I left that meeting feeling all around pretty confident. We decided that Sleepy Dog Creative creates compelling testimonial videos for change-oriented businesses. We help people who help people. Love it. We got it.
I saw an email from your brother.
Yes.
And I'm asking, you know, what's the target market?
Mm-hmm.
And Josh said, we help people who help people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to work.
Okay.
I'll give you a sense of what we're looking for, right? And I'm just going to illustrate it. We work with small to medium-sized real estate firms who are trying to market themselves with podcasts. We work with community organizations that are trying to generate content for their website. Do you see where I'm going there, right?
Sure.
Because I need to be able to search for people that look like that, and I need some demographic hooks and handles.
It's become clear to me by this point in talking to people and recording that this issue is going to take a lot more time than one episode. But I'm feeling optimistic about the process. I feel like in some ways I have more questions than I did when I started, but I think that's part of the journey.
Well, I think the thing that you're insanely talented at is getting your foot in doors, connecting people to other people, like vision casting, big picture. Like, that is you to a T.
Mm-hmm.
It's the detail stuff that gets harder for you. If someone was like, you don't have to ever worry about the detail stuff, just come up with 20 ideas. You're like, all right, I can do that. Like, while I take a nap. Like, that's just how you roll. So part of me was like, there's a lot of people out there who just need to get connected to the right crew, the right people. And there's totally a market for that. But I mean, even as you're talking, it's, I think you would enjoy that, but I think you would still want to create things, not just bring people together. But there could also be something where, you know, the clients meet with you, you're the one vision casting, you're the one bringing people on, you're kind of taking this almost executive producer role. Like, maybe you bring someone as a director, maybe you step in as a director, like that's an option too.
I think I'm simultaneously getting excited and terrified by all my options. On one hand, this is my kingdom and I can build it however I want. But on the other hand, if I want other people to see Sleepy Dog for the valuable company that I believe it is, I need to build it in a way that showcases its strongest qualities. It's exhausting. There was something that Jeremy told me that helped lighten this burden a bit.
Years. Absolutely years of refining. I've been in business for 8 years, on top of taking 12 master courses this year on how to define exactly what my business does in 5 seconds. I've done extensive amounts of development on this.
What, you started this?
Like 4 months ago.
4 months ago.
Answering these questions is more like creating a working document than it is,
or
creating a first draft than it is like locking in an answer. In fact, like, the chances are it's not sustainable to expect you've solved it.
Yeah, like, especially this early.
Right. Like, the reality is I don't need to answer the question. I need to put a first draft.
Yeah.
And be constantly prepared to revise and adjust and refine. So we're creating a first draft. We've got some really solid leads, but we've got lots of work left to do. But here's the thing. Even though this is the story of Sleepy Dog, this is also my story too. This isn't just about solving a problem or identifying a market. It's also about the ambitious creative trying to find his place in the world. It's about the failure-scarred dreamer hoping this is the time that things take shape. And at the end of the day, it's about the little kid and his dog learning how to make movies, hoping that one day he can make something that'll make a difference. Guess we'll have to see.
When I was younger, I was a dreamer. Sky was the limit for me. But as I got older, I started to figure it's just not that simple, you see. Just 'cause you want it don't mean you got it. What if I don't measure up? Well, hard work is given, but I hate to admit it. Sometimes it comes down to luck. Oh, I can feel anxiety is creeping. Oh, I'm awake when I should be sleeping. I hear my heart beating. Will I ever make it?
What makes you so confident that this thing is gonna work?
Well, I think it's who you are as a person. I mean, I've said it before, and I'll probably be saying it till the day I die, that you are an incredibly hardworking person. I've always heard if people who succeed at art are the people who can't not do it, and that's you. You can't not do it.
I'm overthinking, fate won't be sinking. How do I fight back the doubt? Oh, I can feel anxiety is creeping. Oh, I'm awake when I should be sleeping. I hear my heart beating. Will I ever make it?
Over the Edge is a production of Sleepy Dog Creative. It was written, hosted, and edited by Jeremiah Shoemaker. Our theme song is OK by Quinn from Space. This episode's featured song is Make It by Cody Fry. Music composition by Jeremiah Shoemaker and Lucas Hipton. Graphic design by Cahootly Alvarado. Special thanks to Jeremy Wagner, Ryan Mione, Josh Shoemaker, and Austin Sabella. For more updates on Sleepy Dog Creative, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Sleepy Dog Creative. If you enjoyed this show and you want to see it continue, leave us a rating and tell your friends. With your help, this show is just getting started.
Can't wait to see how all of this turns out. Will I ever make it?